caralho! Oh, wait, that's... Nature intended it. Don't pass it!
Hi everybody, this is Andy Lopez. Hang on, here we go. Hi, this is Andy Lopez, and I listen to Don't Panic, It's Organic on bbsradio.com. That's an ad for my, get it, for my station, never mind. People have been asking me to play this song. It's called Coffee. I told you I ran out of coffee the other day and I had to get some coffee, so I wrote a song called Coffee. It works. Okay, I was told not to play my songs too long because you lose interest. 30 seconds is about the most I can get your attention without doing something different. So I go up to 29 seconds and then wham, I hit you with, hi, here I am. And another every 30 seconds, I'm going to be changing it on you. So that way I keep your attention. I did one of my videos, the most watched video I've ever done is like 29 seconds. You know, and that was like 300,000 hits. Anything more than that or less than that, it all varies. So this is Don't Panic, It's Organic with your host. Who is it? Oh, yeah, Andy Lopez. I'm better known as the Invisible Gardener. You can visit my website, invisiblegardener.com, and check it out. The folks, the tech people on my website, I've just gone nuts. The place is absolutely amazing. The website is looking really, really, really good. I've combed it over many times for, you know, for errors and technical difficulties. If you're a member and you've been having problems getting in, logging in, or any of that stuff, this is a good time to come back because everything's working fine, and I'll help you. I have a great my tech people will be happy to help you, and I will be happy to help you. All you gotta do is email me. And if you haven't been to the website, you will love it because it has. My blog up there, which I do once a week, I do a column. I do a column for various different publications, but basically it's the same one I send out to everybody. So I post that on my website. The recent one I did was How to Kill Your Trees or How to Stress Out Your Trees. I thought I would name it that to get your attention. I already have a few emails saying, how dare you tell people how to kill the trees? I thought you was a tree hugger. So they didn't actually read the article. They just said, oh my God, time to complain, right? But that's how you get your attention. So that's what today's show is going to be on. It's how to kill your trees or how to stress out your trees. My opinion is the same thing. So it's basically a what not to do thing, okay? I'm not telling you to kill your trees. If you want to know you kill your trees, you can do that on your own because people are really good at killing trees, right? Okay, so there are lots of different ways you can listen to the show, as you figured out by now. So you're probably listening to it. You want us to figure it out one of the ways. Of course, the easiest way is just to go to the website, whether you go to bbsradio.com and you do go to my page, or you go to my website and you go to the radio show page. Either way, you can listen to it there. A lot of people, however, get the podcast. So you can get the podcast, again, you can get it from bbsradio.com, Don't Panic, It's Organic page, or you can get it from invisiblegardener.com, my radio show page. If you're listening to it on my website now, just to scroll down the page, you'll see it says subscribe to the free podcast. That's the one, Don't Panic, It's Organic. You subscribe to it and get the podcast, and you can listen to it later, right? Then if a question pops up, all you have to do is email me if you have a question about that show, if something happened on that show. If the show is live, like now, see, and there's a phone number, there are different ways for you to contact me, because you can call me right now if you have a question, and I'm happy to talk to you. Of course, you know, the toll-free number is 888-627-6008, right? That's the toll-free number. Now, by the way, it's only good in the United States, I think. I don't think it works in Canada or outside the United States. So, and then the direct number is 323-744-4831. And the way you deal with this calling from outside the United States, anywhere in the world, is that we use Skype. So the Skype number is BBS Radio PR. So if you use Skype, that's the way you want to communicate with us. Coming up down the road, as soon as I have my dental work done, I think of having a sex change. I'm not sure. I want to have a button, where I can push it, male, female one day, male the other day. Maybe have a third button to be like zero, nothing, I can just, I want to switch. I'm working on it. But anyway, we're going to be going over to a video format. I just have to set up the studio. I want to be able to show you anything that I've done, work that I've done. I'm trying to connect you with EcoCat. So EcoCat could show up, and you can see it, or any of the other things I'm doing. So that's going to be happening hopefully down the road. I just have to get a little more technical assistance. I have been told I have to get a new sound card. I mean, not a new, an additional sound card. Okay, so once I get an additional sound card, then I could do the music and the video and everything at the same time. Right now, it's a little bit confusing. So I play my music on the PC, and then the Mac takes the Skype, and you know what I'm saying. Okay, all right. So BBS Radio PR is the Skype. That's how you Skype me, okay? If you have a question, especially if you have a tree problem, now's the time to call me, okay? If you have a tree problem, fruit tree problem, call me because this is the time today I'm talking about it, okay? All right, so let's see. I think I covered, by the way, this is the last week of the contest. I have a contest every month. So last week, the person, I think it was a lady, she won. The winner gets the color version of my book, Don't Panic, It's Organic. Now, that version is not really available in any bookstore. You can only buy it from me. And it normally sells for, it's $100, okay? Because the color, as I said, it's a color version. The artwork is amazing. So it costs a lot of money to print it. I have the artwork from my daughter-in-law for every chapter. Really, really nice. You can take a look on the website. You'll see the artwork. The black and white version, however, it's only $20. Okay, so it just has to do with printing. But at any rate, the winner gets the color version. What I'm thinking of doing is I'm going to get send, and I just changed my mind. I change my mind all the time. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to send the color version and the black and white version. I did that once. And the reason is because you don't want to be using the color version as a manual going through it and using it. You want to pick that book, wrap it up in something nice. I would put a cover on it, and then put it inside some way to seal it and protect it, because it is very valuable. Years down the road, you can put that up on eBay and sell it for quite a bit of money. As a matter of fact, that's the reason why it's not available in the stores now, because I was going to sell it, through Amazon. Of course, because of the way it's set up, Amazon was going to sell it for $72.88, the least expensive. They wanted $100 for it, right? Amazon. So, and the black and white version is $20. But what happened was is that Amazon has deals with other third-party book vendors. So they said, "Hey, we're going to sell the book," and it was being sold for $400. So people were calling me up and saying, "Andy, I was going to buy your book, but I ain't going to pay $400 for the color version." And I'm going, "What?" So I went and looked it up, and sure enough, and I called the person up. "Well, we can sell the book for any price we want to. We think it's a valuable book, and we're going to sell it for $400." I said, "Okay." And I asked Amazon. They said, "No, they have a perfect right to resell your book. They don't have to have it. They just sell the book, and we ship it to them." And I said, "Well," so I talked it over with them. "I don't want that." So I made it so that only I can sell the color version of it. They can buy the black and white version, sell it for whatever they want to. It's $20, and I doubt if they're going to get any more money than $20, because if I were you, I wouldn't pay more than $20 for it. But I cost me quite a lot of money. I'm supposed to sell it for $100 at a minimum of $72.50. If you want, the reason why you sell the book is to make some money, so it should go for $100 so you can make some money off of it. But I'm selling it on my website for $55, plus I'm giving one away every month. And I just decided just a few minutes ago to you also get the black and white version. That way you can actually use it. My first book, How to Heal the Earth in Your Spare Time. I have a few copies of it. One is clean and hasn't been touched. The other ones, yeah, you use them a lot. And I have people who say they wore out the book. And the second book, Natural Pest Control, Alternatives to Chemicals for the Home and Garden. That book, the one I have now, is totally torn up. And people use it and use it and use it and use it like a Bible. You wear it out. So I don't want that to happen to the color version. So I was just going to send you two. I mean, one to work with and one you can just maybe wear gloves when you use it, let people look at it, right? That kind of stuff. Plus, you also get a lifetime membership to my club. It's called Club IG. It used to be called Invisible Gardeners of America. And then I started getting emails from people in Canada, specifically in Canada, Mexico, and different parts of the world. I want to join your club, but I live in, wherever, right? So I changed it to Club IG. Club IG means, like, I saw Club Med once. I go, well, that's cool. And IG means Invisible Gardener, so I call it Club IG, Clubig. People have a problem pronouncing Club Clubig. Just Club IG. And so you join, and as a member, you have access to the website, as a member's website and a general public website. You have access to the forum, members-only pages. That's how you get all my free ebooks. There's 21 free ebooks up there. They're not free. They're free to members. There's a members page. You go there. You get the members radio show. I do a bunch of radio shows, including this one. I have another one called WTF. It's What the Frack, if you're dirty-minded people. It's What the Frack, okay? And it's about two aliens that come to Earth, and they're talking about what the frack is going on. I have another show called Inner Gardening Music. The music you hear there, I put it on the Inner Gardening Music Show. The only way you can get that one is a $2 a month subscription. Then I also have an audiobook series. So I like, for example, pretty soon I'm going to be starting Don't Panic, It's Organic Books. So I read each chapter slowly throughout the course of the year. I'll read through it. And with comments and so forth, because I would read it and then talk about it more, so you get additional insight information. It's called an audiobook. I have another show called What's in Your Garden, and basically that one has to do with I've been on a guest for many years, so the shows I've been on a guest are on they're up there. I think that's it. No, I have another one called the Body and the Garden, which I put up here quite often. Like I said, recently I had Teresa, oh boy, I forgot her name, Nisio. She's a psychologist. So a doctor's a doctor. So I've had, so if you're a doctor and you want to talk about how the relationship between the garden and the body, and you have some insight on this, I would love to talk to you. I've had other people on already, the Biomean folks. They talk about, because the stomach is just like the garden in a lot of ways. You, as a member, you get access to all those shows, and you also get to call the organic hotline and talk to me. I consider this like the organic hotline because you can always call and talk to me. So today I'm going to be talking about how to kill your trees. I get calls from folks to come and check out what's wrong with their fruit trees, right, or their car trees, or their pine trees, or whatever trees they have. And what I find that they all have in common is water. Gardeners and homeowners just do not understand how to water their trees properly, right? Recently, I visited a home which must have had over 100 fruit trees, okay? The gardener has, he's been watering the tree. He's having the watering done every other day for 5 minutes, okay? And lawn looks good. And in fact, for the lawn too. But it's really awful for the fruit trees. And then he showed me some fruit trees that really weren't looking very good. They either had one disease or another, or they were just literally starting to almost die. And he said, "What's wrong with these trees?" And so I told him that they're really stressed out. And why they're stressed out And when they get stressed out, that's when they get attacked by diseases. For starters, these people don't fertilize them, at all. So they're not getting any food. They're getting lots of water. The water is on the top surface, a few inches. It's not going down. The fruit trees or any other trees have deep roots. And the roots have to be taken care of too, because they will die out on you, right? The soil down there will die out, especially when you get this temperature starting to rise. Okay, so by watering every few minutes every other day, you're not allowing the water to get down to the root central root systems, right? Yes, the trees have smaller roots that are located within the top foot or so of the soil, but they also have deep core roots. By the way, I'm still having dental work done, so if I sound funny, it's because I sound funny. And so, if you damage these core roots, the trees won't last long, right? And nothing they'll get attacked by one pest or disease. It's because they become a food source. Nature has made it so that insects, they're nature's janitors, right? So when the tree is stressed out, the insects know it, and they know it's food time. So when the wherever there's pests, there's diseases, because that's what happens. The pests are vectors for diseases. Okay, and so and all diseases are already in the soil, but the pests will go from one plant to another one and spread it. Okay, the pests and diseases will not be easily controlled as long as the tree is decaying in health. Right, makes sense. This is nature's way, and it cannot be stopped. Okay, so if the tree is slowly dying, you have to help the tree find out why it's stressed out and what's causing it to die. You have to deal with the law of cause and effect, right? Okay, a lot of the effects of what you see, the tree decaying, the bugs, the disease, those are the effects, not the cause. Okay, and you may say, well, the cause is he's overwatering lightly. Well, then there are several, there's, and that's why it's confusing to a lot of people, because that may look like the cause, right? It may look like the cause that he's only watering on the short level. But the real cause, right, the real cause is that the tree is not, well, the tree is stressed from the improper watering. That stress causes nutritional deficiency. It causes the tree to not absorb the food, the nutrition that it needs to continue. Because when the root systems die, are dying, because what happens is that fruit trees, right? Most trees, they require watering only once a week, if that. Trees, once a month, they'll do just fine. A lot of trees, it depends on the soil, right? What type of soil you have, whether you water once or twice a month. Citrus is like it. On the drier side, they like it maybe once a week is almost too much. I have a fruit tree, a customer with a citrus tree once a month. Beautiful, right? Okay, so that's why using a drip system is also important. But the thing is that when the trees are when you interrupt nutrition, then it starts to slowly die because it taps into nutrition it has and doesn't have any more nutrition. And it doesn't help that the tree's root systems are dying, and it doesn't help that the soil is baking, becoming as hard as clay, and that's also dying. So basically, the tree says, "I've had it," right? And you're not going to solve and no matter what fertilizer you give it to the tree, it's going to solve the problem if you don't provide the deep watering that is required of the tree, and it needs soil. If the tree doesn't have any soil, then you're gonna then that's and that's what happened with this particular person. No soil, so they watered a lot because it dried out the next day. In 2 days, his tree's like really thirsty, acting like it never had any water. So here's the chain reaction of causes. Okay, so you can follow it. Okay, so we have no soil, right? Which is an actual cause, a long-term cause. We have overwatering. Watering, but not deeply. That's another cause, right? Overwatering, not deeply, right? We have so we have a pest, right? And we have diseases, which you may think of them as a cause, but they're not, right? So this is a chain reaction of causes, And they're not really causes. Each one of these are actually effects. So you can have a chain reaction of effects. One causes one. No soil and overwatering equals pest. See what I say? See, right? Very simple, like a little math formula. No soil, overwatering equals pest. You can have nutrition, right? It's another, you may say nutrition. That could be a cause, but it's really an effect. Lack of nutrition is an effect. Of course, it can be considered a cause because lack of nutrition means you're not getting food into the plant. Like you, if you don't eat right, you're going to get something. You're going to say, it's obviously not eating right, right? Okay, right. But a lot of people may eat right, but if that nutrition is not being absorbed into their body, right? So it still comes down to nutrition, how your body absorbs the nutrition. And when it comes to plants in the plant world, part of the key is the soil. So if you don't have any soil, you're not going to have the microbes, right? The microbes, which that's their job. Their job is to take nutrition, but make it simpler, I would say take minerals, right? Take the minerals. Because that's why we eat. When we eat, well, all we're trying to do, I wonder if we're still on the air. I don't remember anything. Wait a second. Oh. Okay, I think we're on the air. Are we still on the air? Where am I? I don't remember any of this stuff. Yes. Somebody said, yeah. I can't feel my legs. Oh, these are not my legs. What's going on here? Okay. Now, what was I talking about? Yeah, minerals, right? So nutrition. Boy, this is interesting. Oh. So it's all about minerals. When we eat food, what we're really trying to do is get minerals in our body. We need to break down the minerals and all the different types of minerals so that we can grow. Okay, whether it be minerals, protein, lots of different sources of nutrition. Minerals is not just entirely because you're just not a mineral. We're an organic form. We have all types of other requirements as well. Same thing with the plants. So the minerals is what allows you to build all the other things you need. See what I'm saying? So nitrogen is important also. And I was thinking about it the other day. So I said, well, you know, how does nature provide nitrogen to the plants? Right? Well, they have animals. For starters, I would say animals and manure. When animals poo-poo, manure is a good source of nitrogen. Also, since we have animals, I'm talking about animals, when they die, right, they're made of blood, right? And blood is a good source of nitrogen. See what I'm saying? All right? So in nature, there are lots of sources of nitrogen that the plants can get. The air itself, when you have a good storm, it's full of nitrogen that the plants get, and then also the soil gets. See? So there's a combination of things that are needed, but the basics comes down to you have to have the proper trace minerals in order to get to function as a living thing, plants or otherwise. Right? So from a tree's point of view, if the tree is no longer getting the basic requirements of trace minerals that allows it to build its skin, that allows it to build its leaves, right? That allows it to build the flowers, right? To produce fruit. And the key here, one of the things I teach people is about BRIX, BRIX, right? And so I'm actually going to be doing a show. I'm making a note. Show, note to self, brick show. And it's not about bricks as in B-R-I-C-K, right? Is that what it is? B-R-I-C-K, all right. That's a brick. That's a different kind of brick you built your house with. This type of bricks is B-R-I-X, bricks. Right? It's called BRIX. It's a measurement of sugar normally in plants. But normally you measure, it's used in making wine, beer, those things. I take it and I measure I don't measure the juice so much. I measure the plant, the flower and the leaves. Okay? That tells me normally it tells you the measurement of sugar in the flowers and the leaves, but because I am a genius, I am very different. I'm actually an alien visiting. But I decided, well, I might as well, this earth is just going downhill. I better do something about it. So here I am. But it's so, but bricks, over the years, I've come up to the conclusion, I've learned, I've just figured it out that it's not just a measurement of sugar, but it's also a measurement of minerals. A refractometer takes, so if you're an astronaut, yeah, I need more drugs. People, can you please send me more drugs? I'm running out of LSD. I'm all down to just a few tabs. I need more psilocybin. I don't have any more ayahuasca. I don't know what I'm going to do. Okay, just send it to my address. Just go to the website. There's a little place that says help. Send me drugs. I bet you the engineer has some nice stuff he could send me. Don't you, Mr. Engineer? Yes, you do. I see you. You're out smoking again, aren't you? You're out there. He's not even here. He's out there smoking a cigarette. Somebody's going to have to help. Uh-oh. Somebody's going to have to help him, all right? Uh-oh, he's typing. I can't wait. Oh, no, it's a long sentence. It's a long thing. He's like, oh, I think he's mad. I can see this. It's frowning. He's saying, he's going to say, oh, he said yes. That was a long thing to type yes. Or did he stop? He stopped typing. Oh, yeah. Hell, yeah. He said, I don't know what it. Okay. What was I talking about? Okay, so part of the thing that's important is the soil. It's very, very important. I tell people apply rock dust, compost, and mulch. Why? Because we want to be constantly adding to the soil, helping the soil have more and more soil. A lot of these places, a lot of these homes that I go to, multi-million dollar home, have no soil. When they're going to go build something, they take all the soil away. They bring construction sand. They build a house, and they throw a little bit of sand or soil, something that looks like soil on top. There you go. Have a nice day. Bye. And you go, what the heck are you people? There's no soil. And like here in Malibu, there's no soil. People, what's wrong with my place? Well, you have no soil, lady. Your place is on top of rock, subsoil, because there's soil and there's subsoil. You take away the soil, you got subsoil. And in essence, you have a wound, an open wound, because I tell people the earth, the skin of the earth is this topsoil. So if you damage our skin, if I go burn my skin or peel my skin away, I'm not going to be around for too much longer. And we evolved out of the topsoil. And we decided one day we decided we're going to develop feet and get up and walk away from the topsoil, from the soil. Everybody else just has root systems and stuff like that in the soil involved. That's how we evolved. But we decided to make our own traveling skin, like Star Trek's. Bags of water, in Star Trek one episode, the aliens called us bags of water. It's true, 99% of a bag of water. So the soil, the topsoil is the skin of the earth. Remove or damage the skin of the earth, and that part of it, anything growing there will not be doing very well, because the mycelium would not be there. The natural microbial life would not be there. So if they're not there, then the tree is not, or plant, whatever is growing in the root systems are going, WTF, WTF, I don't get anything out of this. I'm not getting any nutrition. And then you come along, us humans come along, and we dump chemical fertilizer because we know we got to fertilize it, right? So let's dump this chemical fertilizer here, and the plant goes, oh boy, chemical, oh boy, food. And they'll take it, but it's usually high nitrogen. You know what happens when you give plants high nitrogen? They start talking like this and everything, you know, every movie. Blah, 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 blah. Ah, ow, that hurt. Oh, man. I'm a hungover. That's what happens to them. and whatever micro, and you have the good guys and the bad guys. So I tell people the good guys and the bad guys don't live in the same place. Okay, so all plant diseases start in the soil, are in the soil, waiting for the right conditions to bing. Just like diseases in human beings are in your body, it's just waiting for the right condition to bing. right? You're surrounded by all types of diseases, and it's just waiting for to right conditions to bring it up, right? Okay, I get excited. Like I said, I need more drugs. So I think I'll just listen to this for a second. You know what? I was working just before I got here. Well, I've been here, you know. But this is what I was working before the radio show started. Nobody's heard of it before. It's not done yet. There you go. Oh my God, he's forcing us to listen to this. Yeah. Anyway, it goes on for 3 hours. No, not really. It doesn't go on for 3 hours. 2 hours. No. Okay. Anyway, so the problem is that the soil, okay? So I'm always talking about the soil all the time because that's the key to it. When I started doing natural tree care, this was in the sixth grade. Almost the very first customer, almost, right? Because I had my next door neighbor was like my first customer. He go come over and says, Petra, that's the name of my mom. Petra, ¿qué estás haciendo aquí? ¿Qué es? She's Spanish, you know. She's basically saying, what's going on in your yard? Who takes, you're really a good gardener. My mom says, don't, not her, it's him. And I go, hi, what's up? And I said, well, can you come over and do my yard? And I go, okay. I don't remember how much I was charging at that time, okay? I think it didn't happen until, actually, I don't think I was, as a young kid, I didn't know business. So I think I was doing it as for free. I just went going over there and putzing around, doing stuff my thing because I liked doing it. The neighbor on the other side come over and play in my yard too. I don't think I did it for long, for maybe, I don't know, maybe it was a year before I realized I can charge them for my services. But so I said, hey, you know, I need some money. And maybe you should pay me to come into your yard and do this. And so I don't remember the amount, but I remember in the ninth grade, I was charging $25. By the ninth grade, it was the ninth grade, and in the first year of junior college, I think the junior college was 2 years. And then, no, wait a second. So there's high school, there's junior high school, all right, junior high school, junior college, and then college, okay? So by the time I was in a junior high school, which is like the first few years of the, you know, 1 to 6th grade, I think it was. By the 6th grade, I was already doing stuff for my neighbors. I don't think it was until I went to junior high school when I started needing more money. So I started charging for junior high school. And then, during the 3 years, I think it was junior high school, and I went to the then high school. By the time I was in high school, I already had I like to say 150 customers, but I added it up all those years because they come and they go, people come and they go. I have a saying, they come and they go, you know. So I count each customer, even if it was just for a day. Sometimes it was just be a day. I would go there and I do my thing, and the people said, wait, I got to pay you? Yeah. That's what we agreed upon. I've been going through that for a long time. And it was so. I was actually a gardener. That was the only time, by the time I was in high school, I went into service. So I was actually a gardener, okay? I used to tell people I never was a gardener, but when you think about it, yeah, I did gardening for people up until I went into the service. So I was in high school. But before I went into the service, I actually had changed my method of operation to where I was actually not doing gardening so much as what I'm doing now. So somewhere in the line, I said, well, this doesn't make sense for me for people to hire me as a gardener, because there's lots of gardeners everywhere. I don't want to be a gardener, but what I'm really good at is making things grow better, right? So maybe you guys do the gardening and I'll do something. This actually call it something different, okay? So I started doing sprayings and stuff like that. This is where I got Don't Panic, It's Organic. Before I went into service, So I remember, well, I don't remember everything, but when I think you talk about it, it's easier to remember. So somewhere along between the eighth and ninth grade, I developed Don't Panic, It's Organic, even though I didn't copyright it. I should have copyrighted it then, and I should have gone into the t-shirt business, and I would be a multi-millionaire by now. It's all your fault. All right? It's all your fault. So, okay. So, if you guys want to talk to me, anybody want to talk to me, I'm happy to answer your question, which is you can call, you can use the Skype the Skype number, BBS Radio PR to call. I think it's a name, Skype name to call, or 888-627-6008, or a direct line 323-744-4831. You can also email me. And I will answer the next show. It's Andy Lopez at invisiblegardener.com. Okay, so the key here is the soil. And so one of the things that, you know, if you want to kill your tree, just ignore the health of your soil. And no matter what you do, you're going to kill your tree. Unfortunately, they all don't die immediately, even though there's some oak trees die overnight, and that's called sudden death. One day the oak is fine, the next day the oak dies. That's a disease, but it isn't suddenly. It's been going on for a while until the tree can't handle it anymore. So the compost is the key to building up the soil, right? It's also the key to breaking down the rock dust into available minerals, because that's what I tell people. I teach people about soil depletion. A lady, a friend of mine, said she went to a soil web workshop where the ladies, she said, "What about rock dust?" And the speaker says, "You don't need rock dust because there's plenty in the soil. If it's alive, it'll break it up and you provide it." Yeah, but it's called soil depletion. If you keep taking it and you don't put it back in again, there ain't going to be nothing there left. Duh. So I tell people always add, you know, and the rock dust is supposed to be trace mineral. So if you add too much of a trace mineral, it becomes toxic. So that's why you want to add a small amount. I tell people do it winter, spring, summer, and fall if you can. If you live in a place like I lived in Boulder, in Colorado, yeah, wintertime. So in the fall, just before the winter sets in, I sprinkle the rock dust and around the place and let the wintertime help to break it down. So by the time spring comes around, that rock dust is nicely broken down. Same thing when you're making compost. You add a little bit of rock dust on a regular basis, a little bit. And I tell people you want to get a blend of rock dust because you want to get a blend of minerals. I make and sell a rock dust called Invisible Gardener's Rock Dust Blend. And in the blend, it has about 10 different types of rock dust, 10 different sources of rock dust. Each of them have specific mineral contents, right? So I get one rock dust that comes from Southern California, and it's a really cool rock dust. It's a neutral pH. It's 30% calcium. I get another rock dust from Colorado, which is 7% calcium, but higher in iron. And so I get another rock dust from Fayetteville, Arkansas, called glacial rock dust. And then I get another rock dust. I get 10 different, so I get another rock dust from another company which has 10 or so different rock dusts available to you. I get soft rock phosphate. I get gypsum, which is another type of rock dust. And I blend them all together. I also get Cascade rock dust. I also get, let's see, I get wood. Now let's see, what's it called? Gee whiz, I don't know what is it called. It's actually made from when you burn bamboo. I had it on my show not too long ago, but right now I'm having hitting a blank on it. But I add that also to it, and then I add a wide variety of trace minerals to it and microbial. To us, you have this blend, and you want to blend so that it has a wide range of minerals so that you cover it. One of the problems when you buy Well, the chemical fertilizers, they only have a few of the trace minerals. That's why they have numbers, NPK. They may have magnesium on there. They may have some copper. They definitely have iron. Some of them maybe even have calcium in it. And that's about it. You need 90 trace minerals. At least 76 to 90 trace minerals. Between the 76 and 90 is 14 trace minerals, and I call them exotics. These are the exotics trace minerals. That if you know, and you think of, normally you think of chromium, you would think of lead, mercury as toxic, but these are exotic trace minerals. You need them in such a tiny amount, otherwise things will not function correctly. If you're missing these, this is what happens with the trees. They're not getting the exotics they need because it's like a chain reaction. Nitrogen is not your building element. Calcium and the exotic ones are. Calcium, in my opinion, is more important than nitrogen any day. And so if you understand how chemistry works, you need these exotics in order for everything else to start to function. Otherwise, they won't function either. How do you get rid of molds? Is that you, Mr. Engineer, or is that somebody else who's just talked to you in your brain how to get rid of molds? Huh? We have a huge problem with that. Ah, it's Mr. Engineer typing me. That means that he was thinking, and maybe I guess it may have something to do with trees, you know, because molds do attack your trees. Didn't I cover that last show? You weren't listening. Do you remember I did a show not too long ago, how to control gophers and moles, Mr. Engineer? Did you? Come on. No, you didn't. You don't remember that. Why don't you just come on the air and talk to me right now? Come on. Are you afraid of me? Come on. Let me hear your voice.
I'd actually love to be on the program. Hey, you give me about 5 minutes and I'll jump on there with you. But we definitely have a serious mole problem. I mean,
we'll get on now. 5 seconds. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I put on station 2 at 12:30, and once.
Really?
Yeah, they're running a little bit late. So I'll be with you, let's say, in about 5 minutes. 2 minutes. 2 minutes. Give me 2 minutes.
Okay. So I'm going to be talking to Don here, Mr. Engineer, about moles. But as I said, you know, you really need to pay attention to the soil. So before you look at any problems at all that your trees, whether it be a fruit trees, whatever, you need to look at your soil. If you don't have any soil, you got a major problem. You need to start bringing in the soil. Don't bring in crappy soil. You want to bring in compost. That's live soil. So look around for where it makes the good compost. And don't buy it from the city, because they're using the good sewer sludge stuff, and they call it biosolids.
I'm with you now.
No, you're not.
I'm going to try.
Okay, go ahead. So yep. You didn't hear my show, which you was the engineer of, when I did how to control gophers and moles?
I did, but it was cursory.
What does cursory mean?
I was listening on the fringes. I know you were talking mostly about soil and bringing in good soil, absolutely. But that's what we've done, and we have great soil. We bring in...
No, the soil is not going to stop the mofers and the... mofers? Mofers and the fofers, you know, that's not going to stop them, okay? Because that actually attracts them, because they're attracted by water, they're attracted by things, you know. So if you live in a hot environment and it hasn't rained in a while, they're going to go, let's see, look, there's water over there.
Right, and they dig these major holes in... they're so small, but they actually, I don't know, they seem to go forever. And as soon as we see one open up in front of us when we water it, we put the hose down there and it just goes.
So here's
destroying
the thing.
Trees.
So here's the thing is that, you know, I can tell you're a nice guy, you know, and I'm a nice guy too. So as a nice guy, we don't like just go around killing things, you know, and we don't particularly like using chemicals that may kill other things too, because that's a problem when you use these chemicals to kill moles or gopher, you know, the strychnine, stuff like that.
We're about to put our exhaust from the motorhome and run it through hoses into those holes.
Let me tell you what to do.
Okay.
And that's exactly, so a long time ago, I read in the paper where this guy killed himself, where he sat in his car, ran his hose, you know, from the exhaust into the window, and And I said to myself, gee, I could do that on the Gophers, because people were calling me all, they still do. And I don't want to use any poison, so I learned how to, first you want to try to repel them, right? You're a good guy. You want to try to
repel
them.
We do. We bought 15 solar mole repellers.
No, no, that didn't work.
No, it didn't.
That actually,
They love them.
If I was a gopher or a mole and I was going to have babies, I would park it right next to that little clatter and I'd go, listen to the little thing, babies. You'd be fine.
You're right.
And that's
on.
Exactly what happens. They lob it. Oh, click, 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 click. Oh, it makes it nicer.
Right.
Bouncing around going, cha, cha, cha. No. No. So, okay, so promise me you'll try to repel them first before you do the killing thing. And I can tell you how to kill them really easy without killing anybody and harmless and.
Oh, that'd be great, because it's a major problem for us. It's the biggest problem we got.
Try hair.
Hair.
Hair. Long, beautiful hair, seeming client, you know,
we just
hair.
Start cutting our hair in the gardens and the yard. And...
No, no, no. So go, I don't know if you have it there, but I know over here, for example, once a month, the pet store has a hair cutting day. They bring the dogs, and sometimes the cats get a haircut, but dogs is fine. But that's one of those places. You can also go to a good old boys barbershop or a woman's, you know, and get their hair. Hair, like hair,
interesting.
Right?
Interesting. Why so hair?
Because what you do is you shove it into the tunnel.
Really?
Yeah, and it only works when the days are and the nights are hot. Now think about it. Why would it, what does it do when you put it in a hot tunnel?
Smell?
Yeah, man. And it'll go on, it could go on for weeks. That hair could be in there. And they will try to shove it out the tunnels. Because that's what will happen. You sit there, you see the hair. This guy shove it right back out the tunnel. Okay, you'll see. I've seen it. I put it in. I said, watch. And the hair would just start popping out. I go, he's in there. See it? Right? Because, you know, I used to talk to the gophers. And they would stick their heads out and say, what do you want? I said, look, they don't want you over here. We had a talk. And I said, look, I need water. I got kids. What are you talking? And then they play good music. You want me to leave? And I go, oh, gee. Right? Right?
Right.
So the hair, especially if it's an animal, because when I lived in Florida, I used to go to the Metro Zoo on their hair cutting day. And I would have a lion hair in there, tiger. You know, you name the hair, the poor creatures would go, I'm out of here. I don't know what that is, but I ain't. They're
but let's
gone.
Say I just want to be cruel. And I just want to wipe out a bunch of them and cause that would be between you and I mean, I'm a spiritual guy, but, you mess with my garden, you're doomed.
Okay. So look, there's long-term and short-term solutions. Okay. So you don't want to be killing every gopher and mole in your countryside over there, because that's what will happen. You'll kill some, they'll die, then more will come and take their place. Right.
Right.
Okay. So let's first do the long-term solution. Paper white narcissus will kill them dead.
Paper?
It's called paper white narcissus. It's
paper,
a bulb.
A what?
It's a bulb. A bulb.
A bulb.
Bulb. Paper like, white narcissus. That's in it. You don't know where narcissuses are and you're a gardener?
Yeah.
Let me talk to your wife.
I've never heard of it before.
Never heard of narcissus?
Never. Narcissist, but never a narcissist.
It's narcissus, yeah, paper white narcissus. Maybe that saying sounds funny, but it's a bulb. Look it up, all right?
I will. So it's a plant bulb. I got you.
Yeah, it's a bulb, and what happens is it's toxic, and the little guys, for some reason, they eat it and they die. And you tell them, look, if you want to eat this, you want to die, it's up to you. And what you do is, you know, once a year, the bulb companies will have a sale. So a customer bought 10,000 paper white narcissus. 10,000 of them for like $300. 10,000 of them, put it around this 14-acre property. And you plant, remember we talked about making a mold with the alligators?
Right.
Well, you don't exactly put alligators. You make a, maybe go down a foot, a little mold, and you amend it with some bone meal, a little bit of soil. You put the paper white narcissus in. You plant them right next to each other all the way around your property.
Whoa.
Every year, the narcissus would get bigger and bigger and bigger. You don't have to take them out. They'll just get bigger and bigger. All you need, maybe a drip line will do it, you know, because your environment is fine. You just have to water every once in a while, you know. But they come out with these white things, these white flowers. And I tell people, don't do it if you have kids, because if you ever touch them, they have this white milky stuff you get in your eyes or eat it, it's bad.
Right.
It will. Kids have known to be quiet. My child doesn't talk anymore. Yeah,
Pets
he ate the
too.
paper white Narcissus. It numbed his throat out and he can't talk. Lucky he didn't kill him.
Is it bad? I mean, pets won't get into it, will they?
Pets usually are too smart to be chewing on the stuff. They won't chew on that because it's really bitter.
Right. I got you.
You know, it's only stupid kids that grab it.
Paper white Narcissus.
Right. And you plant them around your property. So that takes a little while for it to start growing. Because they will go after
That's
it.
That's a great idea, though. That to me is like the perfect solution for someone
right. The
like
only
me.
Thing you have to do is to, if somebody eats a bulb and kills it, you have to plant another one in its place. Because otherwise you have a little door and it will go right through that little door. Trust me, this guy who did 10,000 of them, he said, the gophers are back. I walked around and said, here's a door, there's a door,
so
here's a door.
So you plant them, what, a foot apart or 6 inches?
No, they're right next to each other.
Right next to each other. Wow, that would be a lot of bulbs we'd have to buy.
Right, it's just, you don't have to do them all at one time. You just buy, like what I said, didn't I say 10,000 bulbs?
Like maybe one side and then another side. And
how
tell
much
you
of a place
the property,
how big you got, 100 acres?
No, just about 3 acres, but we only
use
one for
gardening. Well, this guy has 15 acres, and he used 10,000 bulbs to cover all 15 acres.
Wow. You know, that, and for $300 that large, so I figured
it was $300.
Cheap.
It costs more for the gardener to go out there
yeah,
and dig
it does.
And plant. And it was cool about it. Every year there was more and more of them, and the gophers were like, they were coming just to die there. I swear, the gopher come die, gopher come die, gopher come and die. It's like, don't you? And because, you know, that's what happens. And then, so that's a long-term solution. And also, too, you know what society garlic is?
I don't. I know what garlic is, of course.
Okay, it's called society. Don't you know? I mean, you're not a gardener, are you? You just say that. It's called society garlic.
Society garlic.
Are you writing this shit down, man? Because you
I
have to.
Absolutely yeah. am. Yeah.
Society garlic. You plant them as a barrier too. You plant them around the edge. What I do is I plant them at the four corners of your property. You make sure it gets a little bit of water. It gets to be like a really beautiful grassy thing with purple flowers. You cut it by accident because that happened one to my customer. The gardener cut it garlic. It's a form of wild garlic. But the gophers, they don't die from it, but boy, do they get a guard. The gopher comes back, honey, I'm home. Don't come anywhere near me. Oh, you smell like garlic. Go away. Right?
So give them a little bad breath while you're killing
well,
them.
Well,
right?
They don't only get a bad breath, but they get a really bad tummy ache. It can be toxic if you eat too much. And so they kill. This is the way my impression of it is. But it does repel them, okay? It does. They eat something pooey and they go away. You plant them at four corners of it, so you have society garlic, and you have paper white narcissus.
I got
now,
it.
I just wrote a recent column on there's a variety of plants that do not get, you know, they won't touch. So, you know, there are lots of plants you can plant that they won't eat. They will go after your fruit trees and stuff like that because there's water in their roots.
Right.
Right. So your best. So that's a long term solution. Okay. So now, If you want to kill them, and you want to kill them humanely without killing anything else, without causing them any suffering, you get the underground exterminator.
Underground exterminator. Okay, well, what's that?
Okay, so remember I told you about the guy who gassed himself?
Right.
So I went out and I went to the hardware store and I said, don't get me wrong, but I want to hook this up to my exhaust system and hook a hose on it. Can you help me? And he's looking at me like, hey, George, you got another killer here. And he called the cops and the cops says, son, you're too young to be killing yourself. And I said, sir, I know about the guy that killed himself in the car, but I'm going to kill them. They're gophers. And he goes, wow. He actually helped me. The police car was parked in my parents' backyard, and the thing was, I helped me to hook. I had this a chrome exhaust system that you hook up. You know, it's a chrome thing, right? So I hooked up the chrome because initially, what I did is I went to the hardware store and I figured out how to hook up the hose to it. So I hook up the hose to the exhaust system. But when it got hot, it melted the hose. I said, okay, I need more space. I need something to cool it down. So I got a chrome. You know, you can put it over your exhaust. And it's a chrome thing. Then I got something else attached. So I had it pretty about 2 feet. And then I decided to hook up a rubber hose, and it worked. But And so when I gave my radio show and I said, this is what I do, some guy, God bless him, decided to patent that. And now he sells it. It's the Underground. And he calls me up and says, thank you very much. I'm sending you a free Underground Exterminator. It was your idea, but I got it first. Sorry.
That's something.
So it's called the Underground Exterminator. It's a really cool rubber device. It doesn't melt from the exhaust system. It goes right on your exhaust system with a clamp. You clamp it on and a place where you screw your hose on. Make sure it's not a plastic hose because that'll melt. A nice rubber hose, and you run that into the tunnel. Because the gas is heavier than air, you do it up high and the gas will float down. So if your property is on a slope, do it on a top hill, you run it for about a half hour or so, it will kill everybody in there in the tunnels. They won't see it coming.
Wow, I got
they
it.
They die peacefully in their sleep. They go to sleep and they die. And any animal can eat them and won't bother them at all. And that's the time. And then I would do it for a month straight, once a week for a month straight. Maybe the first week, week you go out there, you do one section for about a half hour, do another section for another half hour, and don't tell anybody because their gophers will find out about it.
God.
And then you do that. I would do that once a day for the first week, different sections.
I'm going to keep you updated.
And then the second week I would do it. So when you after you're done, listen to this, it's important. So when you do it the first time every day for the first week, you go back and you cover all the tunnels, cover everything up. Then you look for activity.
Got it.
What I would do if I was really smart, and I am really smart, I would put the hair in the tunnels before I cover them up. See what I'm saying?
Right.
Right. So cover them up and then watch for activity. Because those cockers will try to get the hair out of the tunnel. Next day you go, that tunnel is active. Guess where I would stick the hose down?
Right.
Keep doing that after a while. Because there are massive amounts of tunnels under there.
Right. I'm going to follow your advice to the letter. I will keep you updated on this.
So you're going to have to do this on a regular basis because those suckers, if they die, if they die, it takes them a while to decompose and they won't go in there while they're decomposing. Don't go in there, Charlie's decomposing. He stinks the place. But once they're gone, you say, hey, this is an empty tunnel. How nice. Look. And they move right in.
Ideally,
what you do is you do this before you buy the paper white narcissus, because this other guy I got, other customer, bought all this paper white narcissus, and he planted, and he had gophers inside, and they loved it inside until they got big enough they wanted to go out. See, you should see, I still got gophers. Yeah, because they're trapped on your property, stupid person.
Got it? Hair first, then you buy the Underground Exterminator, then you put in the paper white narcissus and the society garlic. Got it.
Right, and if you can't do that barrier, that's the time you do a physical barrier because you have driven them out. So as long as you do the gassing on a regular basis, then you can make a moat and put rocks down there or whatever you want to go for wire. And when they come back, they can't get in. Duh.
Wow, you might have solved my biggest headache here.
I know I did. I've been. People say come and charge. I can't really kill him because I don't like doing it for no reason. But if you're going to kill him and then do this thing to make sure it doesn't happen again, yeah, go for it. But it's stupid to be killing them forever, over and over and over and over again.
Right. Right.
That is not very good karma. Right.
Right. Let the bulbs do the killing.
Yeah, that's a bulb killing over the
over
if
the
you
long
wanna
haul.
Eat, if you want right. to eat this and kill yourself, go for it. You know what I mean? But so I did that. For example, one lady says, "Well, I have too big of a property, 200 acres. How about this? My garden, just my vegetable." Yeah, you put it around the paper wire narcissus around your vegetable garden. But before you, so when I was young, the way I used to drive the gophers out. I got these big giant speakers. I would put them on the ground, turn them on, and play Goddamn the Pusher Man. Boom, 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 boom. Yeah, we'll just get the hell out of there. And then I would do my hair. I initially did garlic down in there, and I was really bad once. And I put, a cayenne pepper. And so one day I found this gopher. It was covered. Their face was dead, was covered with cayenne pepper. He was tortured to death. And I said, never again will I. No, that poor little creature. You can see he had cayenne pepper all over his face. He looked at me like, you goddamn person. Look what you did to me. So I said, no, 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 no. If I can't kill you peacefully, it ain't going to happen. Right? So you don't use any poison. Don't use anything else to deter them. Hair is peaceful. It says, say, go away.
Right.
You know what else works really good as hair too? Coffee beans.
Oh, good. We have lots
of what you do, what you use is you use
coffee grounds?
No, French vanilla. Everybody says coffee grounds. What's with you people? I said coffee beans. If I wanted coffee grounds, I would have said coffee grounds.
Because I don't want to waste coffee grounds. I'd rather murder the little bastards.
I understand. So you get French vanilla. You go to Costco, you buy like 100 pounds of coffee beans, put it in the tunnels. It will drive them away. The vanilla is toxic to them.
French vanilla.
The vanilla is toxic to them. So a lot of times you can't get the hair, throw the beans in there.
You got it.
That beans works great on everything too. Okay, so okay, keeps coyotes away. It'll keep deer away. It'll keep the rabbits away. They're going, what the hell is going on here? Get it? And the beans last them. So you sprinkle it around your roses. You sprinkle it around the plants. A rabbit comes over and go, oh boy, forget this, right? They have to get to the French, and the French vanilla smell will last a week at least. It depends how much sprinklers, how much water is going on, you know? That's why the beans, the coffee grinds won't have that scent.
Right, I got you. I got you. Is there like a vanilla extract or something you could use?
I am into essential oils, okay? So essential oils are so powerful. Yeah, they have a vanilla essential oil. You can take a drop of vanilla in a cotton ball and throw it in the tunnel. But you know what happens? Those little suckers will throw the cotton ball out. I have a video of it. Throw it in, it goes out. Throw it in, it goes out. Throw it in, the guy throws it out. I said, your mind throws it in. Once I put a rock on it, you see the rock moving, and it's moving. This is like a slam, boom, and he did it. I mean, they're just little people. They have a right to be there. We don't have no right
put up signs. And they don't,
they don't read you. They tell me, what's he saying? I can't read the sign. Right? And then what's worse is they put up sign and you can't read their sign. Right? Right? But the best way to deal with it in the long term, you know, drive them out of your property and then figure out a way to physically keep them from coming back.
Right.
And the paperwhite narcissus, they may not grow there if it freezes.
It does get below freeze. It gets to about 20 F, 18 F.
Right. So that may not work there. You may have to ask your nursery, do paperwhite narcissus would, you know, see if anybody has any bulbs around, because they're different bulbs. What happens
and
is
they
that
don't
when
just die back. They completely die, or do they just die back when it freezes?
I was going to tell you that. Oh. See, different bulbs do that. Daffodils, you know, tulips, they do that. Wintertime, they go to sleep, then they come back. I have no idea about paperwhite narcissus because I have not lived. I didn't try it when I was in Boulder, that snow. Whenever it starts to snow, I'm out of there. Bye.
Got it. Well, I'll find out.
I'm a tropical boy. I know that it doesn't freeze here. I know in Malibu, it doesn't freeze here. We don't have snow, right?
Right.
But possible. Maybe they have a certain variety.
I'll find out. Trust me.
You know
I
mean?
Will find out. We got a beautiful garden center, several of them.
That's
we know
right.
the
you
people
said, Look,
real
I
well.
I want to plant paperwhite. He'll say, oh, boy, so you can't do that because the snow is going to melt them. Ain't coming back. Then you say, well, what other kind of bulbs? The trick here is you're intelligent. So I said, what other kinds of bulbs do you have that I can plant here?
Right.
Because guess what? They're toxic.
Right. Got it.
Right? So I went with the paperwhite narcissus because that's what I can grow here that works really well. Anything else? They need the wintertime. You know, like tulips, they need the wintertime. So I can't plant them and take them out. You're supposed to take tulips out and put them in the refrigerator and then bring them out again and plant. No way am I going to do 10,000 like that, right? But right. In your case, maybe that's – so I would look. I would expand it, and thank you for bringing it up because, see, I've never really dealt with a person in a non-tropical environment kind of thing, you know?
Right, right.
So you say paperwhite narcissus. He said no. And he said, what other kind of bulbs? Well, start planting the bulbs. Doesn't make a difference what kind then, right?
Right.
As long as they survive their wintertime and come back up again. I bet you anything that would work just as well because the gophers and the moles will go for it.
Right. Well, I'm thinking that it's probably, you know, if it's a bulb, it likely die back, but it'll still be there and growing the following year. So.
It depends. Some of them don't do that. Like the narcissus, I'm not sure, but I know that not all bulbs do that because if you plant them in the wrong environment, I've had people call me up. I'm in Iceland.
All
I
right.
planted bulbs here and these things died. Well, it was too cold. Or New York, I planted the bulbs and they died. Well, then, some bulbs will do that, and most bulbs, that's what they should do, but other bulbs, you're planting them out of their
Right.
environment, and else,
I'll find out. I'll find
yeah.
out because
And
this
let me
is
know, because
the. I will.
I would love to know, and then start planting the bulbs. I would say, offhand, I would say tulips are good. I'm not a big bulb man because those are the only bulbs I've planted. I think of, right? You know what I mean? Because I don't have a property yet like you do. I live in a condo. I make all this stuff up. Can I go now? I mean, isn't the show over with yet? Yes?
Absolutely. Are you kidding? Everybody, are you, yeah.
What? I mean,
You
yes, I
can
can
go
go
over.
now.
You bet. There's no show happening right now,
Oh.
and we're already over in 6 minutes. We can go over, no problemo.
Was there anything else I can talk to you about?
Well, you know, when it
Can
comes
help
to
with this one?
moles and gophers, how, I mean, I know, I think we might have both, but I think the moles are the biggest problem. And which one is the bigger problem, the gophers or the moles?
Well, moles are usually smaller. They're both moles are blind, gophers are not. That means that the moles probably like you.
They do.
Yeah, and but the fact that do you know for sure you have both?
I do. I've seen, my dogs have killed a couple of both and left them on the porch, so I'm pretty
Okay.
sure.
Right. So usually you'll have one or the other. If you have both, then you have something going on over there between the gopher and the mole. They're
Well,
getting together and working together.
on the high end of the property, we got the gophers, and on the lower
Right.
end, we got all the moles, so yeah.
There you go. See, they usually have their own area and territory. I give you another thing that you could use, and you probably never thought of it, but a grass snake.
No, never used it. You mean just
Okay,
like.
so what you have to find out is if a grass snake will survive there. So all you got to do is say, will a grass snake survive in Paradise, California? And see what happens when you Google it,
And
right?
they'll take care of the moles.
Oh, they'll go into the tunnels. I bought, I mean, I'm going to type this here now. A lady called me up once and says, I have, the same problem you do, right? I'm going to say, well, grass, I'm writing it down
Well,
now.
where do you
And
buy a
I have to,
th like 1,000 snakes to release on your property?
oh, you only need that. You only need one.
One snake?
Yeah, survive. Well, it has to eat. You don't want them to fight over each other, paradise. I'm writing down to see California, see what Google says. I love Google's. Rattlesnakes. Oh, no, it doesn't work. Now it's just got all kinds of snake. Oh, grass snake facts. Let's see, but it doesn't say anything. I need to talk to a grass snake specialist. But they grow in Great Britain. So that solves the problem. Yeah,
Wow.
they're usually because Great Britain is cold, ain't it? Colder than where you're at.
Right. Well, I see snakes here, but they're usually of the more poisonous variety.
They commonly found south and southeast of England, and they're also in central Wales. So yeah, they can handle the cold.
Interesting. I'm going to have to go find where I can buy some.
Well, it's easy enough to do. What I did locally is I went to a pet store and I ordered one.
Garden snake. And you just need one or maybe two, one low, one high, or
I would
something?
get two so that they'll have buddies, I don't know. I don't know anything about male or female. I just got one, but I thought of it. I said maybe I should have gotten two. Maybe it needs a female or male. Maybe it's a male. Yeah, I
Yeah,
don't
it's
know.
something to stick around and breed with.
Well, yeah, right. Exactly right. But I have a feeling that I remember somehow they don't need either. I don't know. I would talk to the pet place and say, look, this guy says get a grass snake and release it. I should get two, right? One male, one female. Oh, they'll say, oh, no. Oh, yeah, or whatever. And he'll order for you, and then you release it in your yard, and they will stick around as long as there's food, which would be those guys in there.
Right.
But don't gas it because the gas will kill it too.
Right. Understood.
Right? The
Got
poor snake could be sitting there reading his Snakes Are Us book, and next thing you know, he's dead,
it.
right? Because I said, you can't do the both. You might do one and then not do it again if you release the snake. So you probably don't. I wouldn't do that, you know, with a snake. And so, what was the question? I forgot.
Oh well, just how which where to buy snakes, or which one's worse, moles, gophers?
Yeah. So you need to do the gassing thing almost immediately. It's like $20. You can get it at Ace Hardware Store.
Oh, that's what I'm going to do today. You watch. In fact, when Ace I'm off today this afternoon,
you go to Ace Hardware Store. Yep. And look, I could tell you. Let me see now. Just hang on a second. And you know, this is actually good for other people to get it. And then don't tell a guy anything about Andy said that you stole his idea. You know what? I think it's a different company now. Not the original guy. He sold it, you know.
Great so idea.
He sold it to this guy. Who sold it to this guy. I mean, they just go through it like you don't believe. I'm trying. Oh, there it is. Manning Underground Exterminator for Rodents. What happened? I see what it is. Well, there you go. Okay, so it's under Ace. I'm going to give you the. So, more than likely, they don't carry it. They'll say, well, I don't know what you're talking about. So, how about you try some of this stuff? So, I'm going to give you the part number.
Okay, fabulous.
Oh, yeah. You can actually, if you go online and you don't even have to go there, you can buy it from them. I'm over here at the Ace Hardware Store place. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you their product ID number. You can maybe order it right online and have it shipped to you, because I don't know if you have an Ace there or not.
We do, yeah.
You do? You have an Ace Hardware Store?
Yeah, just up the road.
Okay. All right, so I'm going to give you a product ID number, which should be the same. And it's ID number 1276044.
1276044, ID number.
Now, also, wait a second. They have over here an item number. And a other number. So I'm going to give you all the numbers, because I know that, and the website maybe it's different, you know, may have a different, but that's the product ID number according to the website. But let me give you item number and
okay.
another number, which is probably the guy is going to ask you for it. And so remember, the name is Manning, Manning Underground Exterminator.
And got it. Manning Underground Exterminator. Got
yeah,
it.
Yes, it's for rodents, animals, repellent, exhaust pipe hose, 32 UE. Okay, so the item number is 7094147.
7094147, got it.
Right, it has some other number, which I don't know, so you may ask for that. It's 7962037467468.
68.
Huh. Now, you tell the guy it's $17.99 on their website, so if he asks any more money than that, you're ripping him. He's ripping you off.
$17.99?
Yeah, it says $17.99 on the website.
Okay.
Right?
That's great.
Right?
That's great.
And that sucker I would buy two of them, put one away, because somebody was stealing. People have been stealing mine on a regular basis. Oh, I have it in the truck. Next thing I know, it's gone. I'm pretty sure it's the gardener's, so every time I show up any place. So I try to lock it up. Did you take mine? And that'll work. And it'll have a picture of a car and a little line going into the tunnel. Kills moles, gophers. It says rats, skunks, woodchucks, and ground squirrels. So, because it works on anything that has a tunnel that dips on there. That's why the snakes will kill it too.
Right, right.
Just don't go nuts killing everything, okay?
I'll try not to, but.
But this will solve your
I probably
problem.
Will.
But don't. It'll solve the problem in the sense that, yeah, you have a way to kill it, but don't just go killing crazy. If you just kill them and did nothing, right, and then you waited a month, their body would deteriorate and the gophers will be back.
Right. No, I'm going to do the whole regiment. You watch. I'll keep you updated, but I will go the whole regiment. It's
yeah, yeah.
Bad.
So if you use it and you decide you want to build a barrier, then use it on a regular basis. At the same time, start to build your barrier. You know, dig a hole, trench, and put gopher wire there. It's not
right.
that freaking hard to do, right?
Right.
They have these really nice. I would do two layers of gopher wire, not one. And you know what I did at another place, right? I did rock work under there. I basically dug down 3 feet, because that's about as far down as they go. And then just put I cemented a layer of rocks, put rocks cemented and built right up to it. That was my. And I went up a foot, because that way they don't jump over. So you have this wall 3/4 buried in the ground all around your place.
How 3 feet did you say?
Or? Yeah, well, they won't go down more than 24 inches. I figure 3 feet is a good
3 feet down. Build barrier. Got it.
Then you go up a foot.
3 feet down. One foot.
Do you have a fence around your place?
I do.
Right. So perfect. So the stuff will go right up to your fence. You want the rock work, whatever you do, to go right up to your fence, and then nobody's going to trip over it because that fence is part of it. But if you go up a little bit, because I have seen them jump right over it, if you just have it level with the ground, they just go, oh, this is nice, and go right over, right?
Right.
But they're not very good. So maybe the gophers might be able to go over, the moles won't. That's why I figured a foot.
That's so, a good solution.
Yeah, so a foot a little higher than that. Or if you have the fence, the ideal scenario is you have your fence, the wiring of the fence, you make your little mold, so to speak, right where the wiring is to go down, so that you take the wiring of the fence, you run that straight down.
Got it.
See, right? So you have this wiring on your fence. So you basically put a layer of the wiring of the gopher thing a little bit up and attach it to the fence, and then have the rest of it go down 3 feet down, and then put the, you know, instead of putting the soil bag, I would fill it with rock because it's a double barrier. You have the rocks.
Right, understood.
And you have the wiring there. They're not going to get through that, and they're not going to jump over your fence. And the last time I looked, I haven't seen any gophers climbing over the fence or any of that stuff, right?
Right, no pole vultures.
No, I haven't seen any pole vulture gophers yet, right? Right? So that's what I would do. Get the underground terminator. That'll kill them because, you know, if they're in there, they'll die. But at the same time, it'll drive them out. So I would time it with fixing your outside. So you basically buy like a 500-foot row of the gopher line, right? They figure out how much feet you need, right?
Right.
And they already come 48 inches wide. A roll of it is 48 inches.
Yeah, no, that's perfect. That's a great solution,
so
too.
48 inches is what? 4 feet.
Right.
So that's another reason. You put 3 feet in the ground, a foot up, and that foot up is tied into your fence. You wire it into your fence.
I love it. I love it.
You know what I mean?
That's,
and you go 3 foot
solution.
That way, you go for a wire. You're going to need two. I would do two rows. Either you do one row of the gopher wire and rocks, or you do two layers of the gopher wire. Because you don't want it more than a quarter inch. So nowadays, the gopher wires are good because a guy bought a wire that was like an inch, and the gophers went right through it. The moles go right through it.
Right.
Right?
Right.
So you want something no more than a little quarter inch. And if you have a good quality gopher wire, okay, I'll tell you what you can use, and you'll love this, okay? All right, so you can email me, but do you remember the guy I had a guest soil solution? Do you ever listen to any of my guests while you listen, or you should sit out there and smoke
your
cigarette?
No.
Is Andy over with the show yet? Oh, yeah, go ahead. Do you remember the soil solution guy?
I somewhat, yeah.
And do you remember the concrete cloth he was talking about?
Right.
Well, guess what you should be using? It's a cloth. It's a cloth that you add water to it and hardens like concrete.
Interesting.
So you put that cloth 3 foot down, 3 foot and a foot up. You wire it up to the fence, and you water that cloth, and you let it harden. You forget about the rocks. And put the soil back in again. His name is Robert Sequest.
Concrete.
Soil Solutions.
Cloth. Soil solution. Yeah. Okay.
Right, forget about the gopher wires. Just forget about the gopher wire. I have to come up with a whole new story now. Use the concrete cloth.
Got it.
And you have a show up there.
Yep.
So just listen to the show. It gives you, as a matter of fact, you have its information on their website.
I do.
On bbsradio.com. You know bbsradio.com? They're nice. It's a nice station I'm involved with. Go up there. You go up there. You'll see Robert Sequest Soil Solution. You have his phone number. Give him a call. Say, hey, I got gophers. I want to buy the, I think it's called the concrete cloth.
Concrete cloth. Got it.
Just add water to it, and it hardens up, and it'll last. And 1,000 years from now, somebody will be thinking, what is this stuff? Because it'll still be hard, and they will not go through it.
I love it.
That solves your long-term thing there, right, too. See, right?
Right.
And then do that. It's a little bit of work, you know, so you don't have to do it all overnight. But if you get started on the project, you'll get the whole property, and you'll finally have this problem solved. Your place, you have a little paradise. Your gophers and moles would be looking on the other side. Can't get over there. I don't know what to do. They
It'll
may
be paradise again.
Oh no, you know what happens? They'll evolve, they'll build a bridge over your fence and they'll come over. You'll see.
No, we're not going to be open borders here.
they'll build a bridge to come over, you know.
We're going
to
build that wall.
They'll work out something with the birds to carry them over. They'll be diving down from their little plane. Yeah, you know. But that's what you do. Do the concrete cloth and it'll solve the problem.
I will.
Yeah. Okay? It'll solve your long-term problem. So you use an underground exterminator to kill what you got now to reduce your damage and then figure out what you need to do to get this project underhand. What I would do if I were you, videotape it and put it up on YouTube.
That's a good idea. I was thinking the same thing.
People will go nuts. I mean, I don't have the project going on like this. You can videotape and send it to me. I'll take the credit for it. But no, you could say, well, this is Andy's idea.
No, I will videotape it.
Or, you know, but tape it. That would be cool. You know, tape the actual hooking it up to the hose, doing that thing. This is what I'm doing to do my gopher mold. And then I'm also going to tell them, you got to do this whole thing because we're not going to be killing all these poor animals ridiculously. You want to make a permanent thing so you don't have to deal with them anymore.
We'll put a documentary together.
That would be absolutely friggin' wonderful, and you'll be helping other people because everybody's got the same problem.
Right.
And then what I have to do is I think I have a gopher control book. I'm going to have to update it so that it includes that cloth because that's the ideal thing to use, a cloth. You can make your raised beds out of that, for example, right? See?
Right, right.
Oh, containers. If you plant something in the ground, you can actually put it around. I wouldn't put it around a tree in the ground because constrict the root systems, you know. But it's perfect for around the property. It's perfect to be put around the property.
Oh, yeah. I can see that already.
If you're really clever, what I would do is actually make it so it holds water and have water, like a little thing. People swim in it. Maybe a waterfall, you know. Okay, I guess I got to go. You got to let me go. I have this planet. I play this game. Oh, by the way, people have been asking me to do, they want me to do a special show on and do readings. So I don't know if I'm going to or not. What I told everybody is, okay, send me email if you actually want me to do a show. And if I get 10 people, I'll do it. If I get 9, I figured you're all crazy and I'm not going to do it. Okay, everybody. Bye for now. Thank you, Don.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you. Really, thank you.
Because that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you'll appreciate
let me know,
you.
Right? You will let me know what happens with this because I really want to know.
Every step of
the
way.
And I want pictures. I want video. I want to be able to pass it on more to people. Okay?
I will make sure that happens.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Take care now.
Take care.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. Your host, Andy Lopez, the Invisible Gardener. That's me. Bye now.
Thank you for listening to Don't Panic, It's Organic. See you next Saturday.